Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ben Standing is our Washington Commanders program insider. He writes for The Athletic. You should subscribe to it. He can be followed on Twitter at Ben Standing, and he has an excellent podcast called Standing Room Only. He joins us in his normal spot Monday and Friday at 8 a.m. So let's just start with Brissett. Okay, first of all, did you learn anything listening to Brissett's presser yesterday about how this came together and why he's here?
Good question. I mean, he seemed to say that, like, early on in the free agency process. Now, I think he means this week as opposed to the whatever, you know, not technically legal conversations prior. That he seemed to know early on that this would be the place for him. And based on how things unfolded, you look at the money. I was looking just for the backup quarterbacks. Like, he definitely got, of the guys that we've been talking about on his tier this whole time, he definitely got the most money. So I don't know.
The $8 million guaranteed for 1 year is tops among those guys we were talking about. Yes.
Yeah, but it's like double Baker Mayfield and kind of.
I don't know what Minshew got yet. I haven't seen those numbers.
Minshew was like $3.5 million. I mean, again, obviously, it's hard to know sometimes because of the incentives. They could be easy to get. They could be not easy. So that part's challenging. But in terms of the guaranteed money and then the upside, he definitely got the most. So I would have to imagine that was a huge deal. Now, I know Taylor Heinicke told the reporters in Atlanta yesterday that he thought he was going to be back here two or three days prior to, or I guess really at the start of free agency, more or less. But Atlanta came in with a better deal. He's obviously from there. We've talked about like Heinicke a lot, that he seemed, you know, it seemed to me, despite, you know, some questions about whether he would come back, that was still in play. So in order for him to have thought that, then I don't know where they were on Brissett, but I'm assuming at the beginning of the week that, or beginning of free agency or tampering period, that Washington and Brissett got close enough on these numbers that it became apparent that was going to be the case. I also assume, based on Brissett, just, you know, reality is, you know, I mean, look, nobody says flat out we want to be you to be the starting quarterback. So when you look around at all the situations, you know, this is a pretty reasonable spot. If nobody's going to say you are the starter, backing up, if that's how it unfolds, backing up a guy with one career start who is a fifth round pick seems like a reasonable place to take a shot at, to think that you've got a pretty good opportunity to be a starter for a good chunk of the year. So, I think those are the things that, you know, he seemed to say, like, you know, what was, you know, the direction here, things like that.
What do you think he has been told by Ron Rivera? And then what do you think the reality of Brissett Howell is going to be in this offseason leading into training camp?
Well, I mean, this is the thing, right? You know, we've talked about this before, that what seems to happen here sometimes is they say something to get out of one issue, but then it creates a different issue, right? So in this case, again, why did they even bother saying anything about Sam Howell that got out publicly about him, you know, being QB1? They did it, in my opinion, and I think from what I gather, I'm right. This isn't like speculation, that they did it because they were trying to change the conversation away, as was happening in January, about, oh, Carson Wentz and Scott Turner and that terrible playoff collapse, to, oh, hey, look, we got a young quarterback. Let's go that way. And then that became the thing, and it worked. I agree. We stopped talking about that. We went, okay, Sam Howell's interesting, and he is. But that's why then Rivera went up and was like, oh, why is Sam Howell going to start? Rivera's like, whoa, hold on. I didn't say he would start. I said there'd be competition. Well, okay, but why would you bother saying anything publicly if it wasn't, that's got to be like a bit of a wink, right? So I think he's probably been told that, look, at a minimum, we have to publicly continue to go forward that Sam Howell is the lead. And look, the reality is, Sam Howell probably should be. He should be getting all the as many reps as possible. I
mean, yeah, let's see. Unless they don't think he really can do it. Unless 1 year, all of the discussion about how they loved him at Carolina, they loved him all year in practice, they loved him in the locker room, they loved him here, they loved him there. They couldn't wait to play him, except for the fact that they weren't going to play him in a preseason game at the end of the year. But if they think he's got some real potential, like legitimately, sincerely, they should be giving him every opportunity to win this job.
Yeah, absolutely. You obviously are busy doing what you're doing. I don't know if you saw, but I have a new story up today. I don't know if you had a chance to.
Is it the draft one?
No. It's basically, I was sitting there the other day after Brissett became official that this was going to be the deal. And it's not like it was a surprising name.
I got it. The one that you put up, is Washington's quarterback situation still the worst in the NFL? Is it?
Right. The headline is not mine. The way I looked at it is this. There's two different categories, in my opinion. There's the this season category, right? Where are you at with quarterbacks this year? And then typically now we're looking at the better quarterbacks, from Pat Mahomes down to, wherever you think that next level is. I don't know if that's Kirk Cousins or whatever. Somewhere, who are the guys that you think are just simply the better ones in the league? Okay. Then the next category is the longer term. Now, this could include some of the people in that first category, but now you're really also thinking of the Carolina Panthers are about to draft somebody with the first pick. Regardless of whether that player works or not, the perception is that that's a player who's going to, that's a very good chance to work, and it goes that way for a while. Okay, so if you look at the two categories, where does Washington rank? Well, Washington has Jacoby Brissett, who, if you lined up all the quarterbacks and did a schoolyard pick, could he end up as one of the 32 guys who starts? He could, but he's definitely going to be in the bottom of the list, right? He's going to be somewhere in the 26 to 32 part of the group. He's not going to be one of the better ones. Okay, fine. Then you go to the other side. Well, where does Sam Howell rank? Now, look, again, if the NFL scouts all come out and say Sam Howell is one of the 10 best young prospects in the league, great. But we have to be realistic. He has one start. He was a fifth-round pick in the year he was drafted, a year ago. Five other quarterbacks were picked ahead of him. This year there will be four quarterbacks coming in with the first four or five picks or something. In 2020, there were five other quarterbacks picked in the first round, and so on. And my point is that we get caught up in Sam Howell because he's here. Every team has some version of this. The Tampa Bay Bucks are probably in a similar spot right now with Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. But look, Kyle Trask was a second-round pick. He just has been sitting behind Tom Brady.
Right.
And, Baker Mayfield, look, obviously that guy, is a huge, there's a lot going on there. But Baker Mayfield's upside versus Jacoby Brissett has been not just perceived better. He actually took Cleveland to the playoffs for the first time in 18 years before things fell apart. So, and then you look at Atlanta too, right? You've got Heineke there now as their Brissett kind of guy. But they also have Desmond Ridder, who was picked, 70 picks ahead of Sam Howell. So my point is that none of us know what will happen, but on paper, Washington ranks pretty low in both categories, and that's not ideal, right? There's only three or four teams at most who do that. Everybody else has either a guy who's good or they've invested in somebody and they'll see what happens. And Washington didn't do either of those things. So we talk about this in isolation, but if you look at it broadly, I don't know how you don't view it as they have one of the worst situations. But here's the thing. This is the other part of the article. They also improved. They also improved off of last year. I don't think anybody's going to sit here and say, well, this is worse.
No, Brissett's better than anything they've had in the last few years.
Right, and at least Sam Howell, you know, other than Dwayne Haskins, they haven't had a young quarterback, and by the time Rivera got here, there was already questions about Haskins. Howell is still an unknown. He's clean, relatively speaking. He had the one start. He looked pretty good. So I get why there's interest. I have interest. But I'm just saying, when you step back, look at the whole league, and also this, the NFC, the quarterback situation is pretty – starting quarterback is not that great overall. But in their own division, they clearly are fourth. And they're going to be picked to finish last in the division accordingly, barring, you know, whatever else happens here in the offseason, which doesn't mean anything. Okay? You know, I mean, things change, predictions are wrong. But I'm just saying, on paper, they have arguably the worst quarterback situation in the league and yet somehow improved, which is in a very interesting place to be.
Right. We're talking to Ben Standing, by the way, to Tim, who texted me, Gardner Minshew ended up in Indianapolis. That happened yesterday or late last night. And Marcus Mariota signed with Philadelphia. That was more of the quarterback movement. As most of you, I'm assuming, were involved in watching a lot of basketball yesterday. We're talking to Ben Standing. All right. Rather than, you know, put them in categories and rank them with respect to quarterback situations, I think we all know that their quarterback situation is a massive mystery. And by the way, put side by side with the other 31 teams, is going to be near the bottom, you know, in terms of what people are going to perceive it to be. What do you think is going to happen? Like, you know, you talk to people out there, and you, by the way, just said a little while ago that it's not speculation, that you know that it was essentially, hey, let's put the QB1 tag label on Sam to kind of divert attention from the way the season ended, especially that Cleveland decision we made with Carson Wentz. But what do they really think of him? And then do you think Brissett has a chance to win the job?
And just to be, you know, to be clear, when you say that, for the people who maybe don't get it, if it was a 100% straight competition, no favoritism, no worrying about the future, no salary cap considerations, none of that, I mean, Brissett wins the job. I wouldn't say in a walk, but he's going to win it pretty likely just based on experience. He has 48 career starts. He's been through some challenging circumstances. What a career for this guy. He was the starter for New England during Deflategate.
Right.
He was the starter in Cleveland last year with Deshaun Watson. So Washington will be the relative walk in the park for him, despite, compared to most quarterbacks in this league.
He's got a decent team around him.
Yeah, yeah. No, I haven't looked at the history yet to see is this like the best set of receivers he has or things like that. But yeah, he's not played with good teams. You look at three different times in his career, he has started at least 11 games. That's not nothing. You know, just like we saw, you know, it's kind of like the similar with Heineke. He's never the guy that you go, well, this is the starter. It just kind of works out that way. So I think, you know, again, to that end, I think he could. But I think, again, I just think Washington sort of painted themselves into a bit of a corner. They can't now come out. I mean, you know, you can do whatever you want, but you can't realistically now come out and say, well, you know, we just didn't think Jacoby would be there. And, you know, we can give Sam more time to develop. I don't think you can do that anymore. The sales pitch has been too strong to go that way. So I think that Howell's going to be given every opportunity, as Rivera has said, to be the starter, and it will just be a matter of, you know, does he look enough the part to move forward? But, you know, you get to training camp, you get towards the season, by that point there could be a new owner, right? And, well, I think that's the big variable we don't know about. If there's a new owner at that point, right, it seems like it's a forever away that that's going to happen, but if a new owner happens, forget the owner's meetings next week. Just what if it's done by, you know, any point before training camp, what is that person saying? Does that person say to Ron, look, I've admired your work, you're good, do what you think you have to do? Or does that person say, hey, pleasure to meet you, I'm going to reevaluate the whole situation, you know, don't lose. I don't know, right? So that, I think that's all. How could it not be? I mean, think of it like this, Kevin. The last 3 years under Rivera, the team has started 1-4, 2-3, 1-4, right? If that happens again,
it's a Gruden 2019 situation where, you know, they signed Case Keenum. They had the rookie quarterback that the owner wanted to play, and he needed to win.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, whatever is being said now doesn't necessarily mean to me it's going to be the same thing come end of July when they're convening, I assume, in Ashburn, to do this thing. I wouldn't blame Rivera if he, you know, said, well, you know, I got to try to figure something out. And also, like, even if they decide to go with Hal, right, the whole point of a guy like Hal is, realistically, he's going to need some time, right? Which is fine. Totally right. Reasonable. So if they start off 1-4 again, are they going to give him that time? And then even if they decide they won't, what in Jacoby Brissett's career has suggested that he's going to turn this thing around, right? I mean, you could obviously make the same argument with Taylor Heinicke when he had these surges, successful surges, but then ultimately the wheels fell off, right, to varying degrees. So, you know, I guess my point is I would still put Hal as the favorite, but let me know what the mindset is both of the coach and the organization if there's a massive change that we all at this point I think is going to happen here with ownership, and that's the variable. At least Ron, I guess, has given himself an out in terms of, well, we have Jacoby Brissett, but yeah, it's still, I would still say Hal, depending on what the mentality for everybody is involved come July.
I think I agree with everything, but I would add this piece to it, and that is, while Ron put the QB1 label on Sam Howell, Eric Bieniemy hasn't actually done that yet. And this is a big year for Eric Bieniemy as well. And we both know that Eric Bieniemy's been told he's got a ton of autonomy and decision-making power right now in this organization. And I made the case, a caller yesterday said, look, Eric Bieniemy needs to develop Sam Howell. And I think that, you know, if Eric Bieniemy realizes that developing Sam Howell may not be as easy as Ron Rivera and others pitched it would be, I think he could get a lot of mileage out of, you know, coaching Jacoby Brissett into one of his better seasons in his career. I think Bieniemy can win with Brissett. I'm talking about in terms of gaining ground on a head coaching job as much as he can with Sam Howell. It's not like Brissett's lit up, you know, any kind of season. He had a good season last year with Cleveland, you know, as the caretaker for Deshaun Watson. He had a really good season. Their issues were defensive last year in Cleveland as to why the record was what it was. But it's what I think it's more going to be about what Bieniemy thinks more than anything else.
Yeah, no, it's a great point about, you know, Bieniemy's role in this. And again, this goes down to the mentality and the level of urgency. If Bieniemy thinks he has, you know, I mean, you know, depending on his own personal hopes and dreams of being a head coach, you know, if he thinks, look, I'm here, I'm happy to be here, how do we move this thing forward? And obviously, if I do well, that'll help my cause. Then again, maybe he says, well, let's see what Sam Howell can do. I mean, I think anybody recognizes Sam Howell is the ideal choice. For a long-term solution, if Sam Howell actually wins the job and plays well, Washington
is
set up very nicely.
That's the best case for everybody, of course.
Yeah, so there's that. But look, you know, this is a copycat league. Does anybody look at Jacoby Brissett and think, you know what, a year ago, was anybody think Geno Smith was going to the Pro
Bowl?
Exactly. No.
Right. You know. And I mean, not to interrupt, but I just think that ultimately with the Terry McLaurin's and, you know, year two of, or maybe year one of the extension, and signing Daron Payne and the talent that they have, and they've got a top 10 defense, they've got really good receivers. Like, personally, you know, unless Sam Howell really speaks to, we got to give this guy a year because in 2 years or 3 years, he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. If there's real belief in that, then you take your lumps in 2023. Understood. Okay, and no argument with that. But if they don't feel that way, you try to win this year. You put the guy out there that gives you the best chance of winning if you don't feel that way about Sam Howell. And who knows if they'll have, you know, a strong enough opinion one way or the other by the time we get to the season opener. But anyway, look, I'm running out of time here. Tell me real quickly what's next for them in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we can debate whether they've improved a lot or how some of these guys they've brought in are good or whatever. But I think what they've done is they've given themselves some options. They have signed basically virtually only players at positions of need areas at this point. So at a minimum, you know, they have players they can use in week one right now on the offensive line. You know, they added a little depth at cornerback. They have a new linebacker, stuff like that. I still think, to me, the screaming need is that third cornerback, but that could be the draft. So I think that right now for free agency, I think it's mostly depth stuff. I mean, I just, you know, I don't see a ton of, like, you know, I know like people are, like, desperate for them to get another linebacker. Like, I don't see them spending more money than they just gave Cody Barton on a linebacker. Unless somebody's price just comes way down, or
they don't need it. Like they don't really play lot linebackers. They don't play a lot of linebackers.
No,
they need, yeah.
They used three linebackers in a 4-3 set exactly four snaps last year out of 990 something.
Wait, say that again.
They used three linebackers in a 4-3 set, like a real one, four plays last year out of 990 something. So,
right,
like,
because they used Curl or McCain or somebody else when they were in a base 4-3 as kind of the hybrid, you know, backer,
yeah,
as the Buffalo nickel, whatever they want to call it.
Exactly. Plus, this is a team that uses five defensive linemen more than the, you know, the average bear. So, they don't need that. So, you know, look, I'm not personally set on their offensive line, but this may be where the draft comes into play at this point. So, you know, look, there could be another signing or two. Look at, you know, J.D. McKissic was released, you know, in theory, need another running back. You know, there's questions about the tight end room and this, that, and the other. But, you know, right now they are pretty set, at least from the perspective of they have pieces now at all the places that we were going. Well, don't they have to get someone there? And now the question is, do they find a nice bargain in free agency or position towards the draft of, okay, now we've got this done, where are our biggest holes? I would say cornerback to me is probably number one at this point in terms of, like, you could get somebody now and that person could start as opposed to what we just said with linebacker. So that to me would be the biggest thing. With the Jacoby Brissett deal, there's no Lamar Jackson. I don't think that was ever a real thing anyway, but for people going,
even
well,
Florio
you can go
now
get that
admits
guy.
That there's no Lamar Jackson coming to Washington. I got to run. Thanks for doing this. I'll talk to you Monday.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. By the way, the news overnight, if you missed it, Florio, Pro Football Talk, reporting that somebody within the organization said a deal is imminent for Snyder to sell the team and that the Snyders have moved completely out of the team's facility, both Dan and Tanya. All right, we'll talk to somebody from down in Alabama about the Crimson Tide, the number one seed in this tournament. They get Maryland tomorrow night. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Right now,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Window Nation.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
To give you the opportunity of the year. Your energy bills are on the rise. In D.C., they're up 25% compared to last year. It's not too late to fix your high energy bills, all the while getting off-season prices from Window Nation. Beat the rush with 2 free windows with every 2 you buy, plus put no money down, make no payments, and get 0% financing for 24 months. So 2 years, pay nothing. Windows in your home, saving big on energy bills, and when you do start paying in 2025, you'll be paying half price. Call them right now at 866-90-NATION. Go to windownation.com. Mention my name. Been working with Window Nation now for 14 years. I've used Window Nation. Many listeners have, family members, friends. It always works out. They've installed over 1 million windows in over 150,000 homes. 96% of them have needed no follow-up service. They've got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. I wouldn't be endorsing as much as I have over the years, Window Nation, if I didn't fully believe in them. Pay nothing for 24 months. Buy 2, get 2 free with no limit on any style window from Window Nation. Save thousands on your new windows and your energy bills, all the while upgrading the look and feel of your home. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. Do we have Martin? Okay, good. Joining us right now on our BetQL guest hotline is Martin Houston from the Martin Houston Show on 100.9 FM, Tide Radio. He covers and talks a lot of Bama. And actually, Martin, thank you so much, because I think this would have been one of these things that I would have reached out anyway, even if they weren't playing Maryland as the tournament went on. I am curious, for Bama fans, is this a big deal, or is still the spring game the focus?
Well, I can tell you that today, as I was getting ready to start my show, I brought up the conversation about spring football, and I do my show online as well, and I got a chat that says, "Who cares? We want to talk basketball."
Okay, so, good.
So it's a big deal down here.
So what was Birmingham like? Was it a total home court advantage? It certainly seemed like it in the Auburn game.
Yeah, you know, the home court, first time Alabama's ever got to this level on the court, and the fans showed up, and it was loud, and it was pretty much a home game for Alabama. And, of course, as you said, for Auburn, I'm sure Houston loves that fact now as well. But definitely a big deal. A lot of friends and family actually went up to the game yesterday, which is a unique experience for us down here in Tuscaloosa.
All right, we're talking to Martin Houston. You can follow him on Twitter at MartinHouston35 from the Martin Houston Show down in Alabama. So let's talk about Brandon Miller. First of all, what is his health status? Obviously, he was not himself yesterday, played 19 minutes, did not score on 0-5 from the field. Where is he health-wise?
You know, I think that he's a little sore, but, you know, being a former athlete, I think that had the game needed more, I think Brandon Miller would have had more. They went into that game with the intentions of limiting his playing time. And I think once they saw that he wasn't completely himself, they didn't really push it. I actually think that actually helped this basketball team as they were able to get to 96. And you saw Mark Sears find his shot yesterday. You saw Gurley, a veteran, come off the bench and do well. And then, of course, Pringle, the top junior college player in the nation, had Shiway-type numbers yesterday as he was able to fall just short of Brandon Miller's 6-point average with 19 points. So I think it's not great that Brandon wasn't himself, but I think it was more cautionary and not needed than it was how serious the injury is.
The other part of Brandon Miller, and we've all been following the story as sports fans overall, he's needed, 24/7 security, right? Outside of the campus. Talk about that, and really the reaction to him down in the state of Alabama with respect to what he was at least on the periphery of that fatal night back in January.
Yeah, and first and foremost, we need to remember that a lady lost her life, and as a young man, unfortunately, going to be growing up without a mother. And so we don't need to lose sight of that. It's an interesting time we live in, Kevin, and I'm not trying to be political here, but I've heard people shout for justice and social justice and how black men have been railroaded by the system and all of this. And here's a young man who has cooperated, has been cleared in every way legally. Yet the media, and a lot of it is not legit media. So let's be real.
Sure.
That just won't let this story, but there are a lot that's refusing to look at the evidence and what the court is saying. And that's unfortunate, but as far as the security needed, it's a sad situation that it's the types of threats he's gotten from, I call them the keyboard warriors or bullies. People who can hide behind a keyboard and send threats and idle threats, and some may be serious, so it has to be taken that way. But very, very unfortunate situation, and instead of us talking about this being one of the greatest players to play the game, reaching levels that no SEC player has ever reached in terms of, the first SEC freshman of the year, first player of the year in the SEC, and first SEC MVP. You think about all the great one and done that have come through this league, and he's the first one to reach that height. So we don't focus on it, the negative side, too much, because we believe, the law and what's been said, and it's unfortunate that it keeps going down that path.
How much, Martin, has it been a distraction to him, especially given all of the death threats, the required, 24/7 security? How has he dealt with that? Obviously we saw what happened with the introductions for that first home game. That was unfortunate, and you move on from that. But how has he handled that? The attention, and by the way, young man, 18, 19 years old, with death threats coming his way and the university needing to, provide him with 24/7 security.
Yeah, a couple of things, and hopefully this will help clarify that his pat-down intro was TSA, like security not being arrested. But anyway, that's another sidebar. So it was, it was being done long before.
I think everybody knew that was something, after we saw it the first time, that they had been doing all year. Still, the optics of it, you would think that Nate Oates or somebody would have said, hey, maybe for this game, regardless of what the intention is, maybe the optics wouldn't be very good for us.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, that's the culture that we live in. So you do have to think through that. But as far as it impacting Brandon, I actually think he has been more dialed in and more focused. And I think if you go back and look, the
South Carolina game.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he had half the team's points and yeah, finished down like 10 or 12. So Brandon is a very, very mature young man. He's an older one and done. I think he's 20. But Brandon and I's dad played together at Alabama, and his DNA is nothing but class, maturity, and strength, and great support system. So I think you see that coming through, the power of a strong family support system and being engaged. And I think he's handled it well. I actually think it impacted the rest of the team more than it did him. And I know that from just some inside conversation. Actually, it kind of rocked the other guys probably more than it did Brandon, ironically.
All right. We are talking to Martin Houston from The Martin Houston Show. Martin was also an Alabama football player. You can follow him on Twitter at MartinHouston35. Real quickly, tomorrow night, Maryland, survived just an absolute brawl against West Virginia in the first game yesterday. Maryland got run out of the building 2 years ago in this same round against Bama. What do you, have you looked at the game? What do you consider to be the keys to the game tomorrow night from Alabama's side?
Well, if there's anyone – in the first few rounds, I think that gives Alabama trouble, it would have been West Virginia or Maryland. If you go back and look at Alabama this year, even though they've been a very dominant team just about all year, you go back and look, UConn, big physical team. Gonzaga, big physical, athletic, big man. Oklahoma, just physical. Tennessee, physical. Texas A&M, physical. So if there's a team that has the pedigree in the style, Maryland present that, especially down the stretch where Alabama at one point, I think, was shooting less than 20% from the three. At least we got some of that back yesterday. So I think it bodes well for Alabama. But if I'm Maryland, I'm going to slow the game down. I'm going to be physical early. I'm talking about set hard picks and screens and foul hard and see if I can make this team, stop a little bit, which talent-wise I think you clearly see it's Alabama's favor, but physicality in an ugly game bodes well for Maryland. Turn us over and physically pound us a little bit. And Maryland, I think, could pull one of the bigger upsets in the tournament. I'm not calling for that. I'm just saying that's what I would do if I was Maryland.
All right. Martin, thanks. Maybe before the draft, we'll reach out to you, talk to you about Bryce Young and what you think of him. But appreciate the time. Really appreciate it. Talk to you soon. At MartinHouston35. Thanks.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yep. All right. Let's finish up the show with a day two smell test.
Can you smell it? It's time for the smell test.
Do you smell something?
We look where John Q. Public is putting their cash.
Trust me, you just gotta get past the smell.
And go the other way.
Can you feel it? Can you smell it?
Kevin's smell test on the T90.
Yesterday didn't go too well. 2-4. Had the Terps. They got it done. Had UVA laying 5.5. Up 4. They call that a block shot instead of a foul. Maybe they're going to the line to go up 6. Who knows? And then I had San Diego State, got a little bit lucky there. Did you see the end of that San Diego State game, Denton, where they're tussling for the ball? I didn't think they were going to blow the whistle and call the foul and get our guy to the free throw line for 2 key free throws. What was your number in that game?
My number was 5.5, so God bless that ref for calling that.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it out on the show yesterday at 4.5, but by the time I played it, it was 5.5. And so we needed both of those free throws with 0.7 seconds. So that was the second win. I had Illinois. To be honest, they were never close. I had Iowa. They were never close. And then Tennessee, You know, I gave them out on the show at -10.5. I ended up playing them at -11.5. I think that game may have gone to -12, -12.5. They had an 18-point lead at one point, and they ended up winning by 3. So 2-4 yesterday. You, however, went 3-0. You had Penn State, Maryland, and San Diego State. So good day for you. All right, let's start with the first game of the day today. Yesterday's first game was a good play. Michigan State's not Michigan State this year, and I'm the biggest Izzo guy that there is, and I always think they're about to do some damage in the tournament when it starts, even if they weren't overly impressive. I just don't think they've got the ability in the backcourt to get it done consistently. I like SC. That's a very short number. It's right now at 1.5, 2. I'll take the 2, thank you, and take the Trojans and Andy Enfield, who I used to play a lot of pickup ball with at Bethesda Sport and Health back in the day. He could really shoot it, by the way. USC +2 is the first play. Another kind of chic upset pick is a lot of people like VCU against St. Mary's. There's sharp money on St. Mary's. I'll take them and lay the 4.5. I like Baylor going into this tournament in general. I'll take them -10. There's actually public action on the 14 seed, UC Santa Barbara. Purdue's laying 22 against Fairleigh Dickinson, who looked fairly good the other night in the 16-16 game. And nobody believes in Purdue heading into this tournament. I'll take the Boilers and lay the 22. And then Florida Atlantic may be the biggest anti-public play. Memphis won their tournament, beating Houston in the final last week. They're laying just 1.5 against Florida Atlantic. Give me Florida Atlantic plus the 1.5. So there you are. 5 plays. Trojans +2. St. Mary's -4.5. Baylor -10. Purdue -22. And Florida Atlantic +1.5. I like Indiana a little bit, staying off them. Denton, who do you like? Who are you playing today?
I got 2 for you. I like Iowa State getting 4.5.
I like them
Pittsburgh
a little bit too.
And I like the first half under in USC Michigan State under 64.5.
So the total's like 137. First half is 64.5. Okay,
yeah.
That's about right. Yeah. Yeah, for those of you that don't follow, the first half unders are always kind of a lower number than the overall total. It's not half because they expect fouls at the end of games and more points with free throws. All right, that's it for the show. Thanks to Kevin Willard. Thanks to Gary Williams. Thanks to Ben Standig. Thanks to Martin Houston, who just jumped on with us. Our coverage of NCAA tournament action starts at 11 a.m. all day long. Terps tomorrow night against Bama, 9:40. But before all of that, you get Chris and Pete next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.